Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, if you're just tuning in, Cecil Shorts in studio with us. And as we were just discussing in the previous segment, according to sources close to Jadeveon Clowney, September will be the first time that we see Jadeveon Clowney within the vicinity of NRG Stadium for the 2019 season. We'll talk more about that as we roll on with the show. Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord, and former Texans wide receiver Cecil Shorts, also former Tampa Bay Buccaneer wide receiver Cecil Shorts. Relevant.
There you go.
This doesn't happen very often, Cecil, when in the offseason where, you know, teams plan for March to build through free agency, teams plan for April to build through the draft. Rare is the time where a six-time Pro Bowler who's been productive recently hits the open market in mid-May, but that's exactly what happened in Tampa Bay with Gerald McCoy getting released by the Bucs, not for production reasons, but for financial reasons. You were in Tampa Bay when Gerald McCoy was there. Obviously, you've been in this locker room with many of the guys that are on this team in Houston. How good a fit, I guess, first from a locker room standpoint and then from a scheme standpoint, we can talk about that next, but just how good a fit would Gerald McCoy be here in Houston?
It would be no better fit for him anywhere else in the league. He fits exactly what Gain and O'Brien are looking for as far as a good teammate, somebody that's a hard worker. He is a guy that is a true leader in that locker room. To me, he was the face of Tampa Bay. It wasn't Jameis Winston, no offense to him. It was Gerald McCoy. When you went there, it was his team. He demanded respect on and off the field. He was somebody that was awesome in the community, which you got a lot of guys here that do amazing things in the community. But he was somebody that demanded respect, and he spoke up and was a leader no matter what the situation was. Tough times, if offense wasn't coming through, he would talk to you respectfully. He was somebody that you want on your team.
That has to be, the way you describe him, almost sounds like how we describe J.J. Watt here.
He is. It's the exact same thing.
I mean, it's the exact same thing.
The exact same love J.J. gets here, he gets there. He's beloved in that organization.
Yep, absolutely. And he's been that way since Oklahoma.
And honestly, it was a shocker when I seen he was getting released because he is somebody that's so well-respected. Somebody that's so well known and such a huge figure in that Tampa area, I wasn't this expecting that.
I don't know if there's a better guy in the league to provide an inside pass rush than Gerald McCoy, a better guy at the defensive tackle position that can push the pocket like he can. Look, Brandon Dunn does a nice job. Mm-hmm. He's not Gerald McCoy.
No, I'd take Aaron Donald, but Gerald McCoy's pretty good.
He's pretty good too, yeah.
Aaron Donald is pretty good. Now, to be fair, I don't think Gerald McCoy is the same guy he was in 2014, 15, 13, right? But he still had 6.5 sacks last year. He's still somebody that can bring pressure. One-on-one, there's nobody that can – he's going to get to the quarterback. There's no doubt about it.
Well, and there's got to be a symbiotic thing going on, too. If you plunk him down on a defensive line that has J.J. Watt
come on.
And Jadeveon Clowney. Come on. And we were just fantasizing during the break, right? Can you imagine a front four?
Yes.
And I know people are going to go, well, it's Rack's a 3-4 guy and McCoy's a 4-3 guy. Rack will find ways to make great players work. Watt, Reader, McCoy, and Clowney on the field at the same time. May God have mercy on the quarterback's soul.
Coaches always find special packages and defenses and offenses to get their best players on the field at the same time. You can't tell me if McCoy ends up here that he won't be on the field at the same time as those guys. That's a quarterback's nightmare. Right. Like, I would love to see that going against the offensive line of Indianapolis. You know what I mean? That's something you want to happen.
Yes.
And we haven't even mentioned Whitney Mercilus, who has a 12-sack season on his resume, and Charles Omenihu, who led the Big 12 in sacks last year.
So bringing him in, and we talked about the fit, right, the scheme. Yes, he was a three technique most of the time, but he is a guy, and I know people hate it at the station. He's versatile. You can put him anywhere, and he's going to make plays. As long as he's on the field, you have to respect him.
If the guy has 6 Pro Bowls, you're allowed to call him versatile.
Okay. Sorry, Landry. I know Landry doesn't like that.
You're triggering Landry in his car Landry's right now. Sorry, for some reason, Landry hates versatile people. he's also a huge Game of Thrones nerd, too, so I would love to get a chance to discuss the series finale.
There
with
is
him.
Nothing you can't talk to Gerald McCoy about. He can relate to you. He can relate to any and everybody.
Really?
Whether it's Marvel comics, whether it's Game of Thrones, whether it's sports, whether it's politics, whatever the case may be, He would talk to everybody in that building.
So he's that friend where if you go to a function somewhere and you got to bring a buddy along with you,
you're bringing him.
McCoy is the guy you bring because you know, like, this guy can talk to anybody about anything. Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You guys would love him here. He'll be awesome.
Well, I keep our fingers crossed. I'm not holding my breath because this team protects. They protect the nickels and dimes on the salary cap like they're manhole covers right now. It's unbelievable.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be mad if he comes to my Browns, though. I think that would be interesting.
Okay, now we're showing the motivation. At two, Cecil. Oh, where do you think he winds up, for real?
Oh, I think it's, you know.
What do you think his motivation is at this point? Let me ask
it's a
you
ring.
That.
For him, it's a ring.
He's made $114 million.
He got all
million.
The money in the world. Yeah.
I've seen Colts and Browns mentioned.
He got all the money. No, I don't want him in Indianapolis. He was. Oh,
neither do we, but yeah. They've been mentioned.
I don't want him in Indianapolis, but I think he ends up either with the Patriots or the Browns.
Okay, how do you think he'd fit in with the Patriots?
He's a guy that could fit in anywhere.
Fit
so,
in anywhere.
So he'll be fine. I don't know if he would like it that much, though, honestly.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. More, not so much from the Patriots' perspective, but from McCoy's perspective.
I don't know if he would like it that much. He's a guy who wants to have fun.
Yeah.
I think one of the knocks on him is that he's not nasty enough,
mm-hmm.
that he smiles too much to be a D-tackle, that he's not ferocious enough, per se. So I don't know how well he would fit in that culture. He would respect it and he would do well, but for him being the loving, caring guy he is and laughing and joking, I've never been in with the Patriots, but I've talked to guys that like, I can't, thank God I'm out of there. Oh yeah, I love to win, but I couldn't take it no more. So I don't know how he would fit with that, but as a player, I mean, he can go anywhere.
I'd love to have him on this team. And the conventional wisdom has been that the money you referenced, Sean, that they're keeping aside, at least for the moment, in part contract extensions for guys like Reader and maybe Nick Martin, money they may want to keep aside, at least to a certain extent, if they do come to an agreement with Clowney on his contract. But I don't know, man. If Gerald McCoy is available and you don't have to break the bank, I'd love to see them make a hard play for him.
Well, they just picked up $2 million letting Ryan Griffin go.
Do you guys
this week
think
too?
He wants to break the bank? He's 30, but he'll be 31 this year.
I don't think he should expect to be able to break the bank at this point, right?
Well, no. let's play this game.
Would you
here.
Give him the Domagon Sue deal? Yeah, the Rams? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. That's all right.
Last year, the Rams gave Sue $14 million for 1 year.
For 1 year? Absolutely.
Me
no,
too.
No doubt about it. For 1 year? Oh, yeah. I'll give him what he wants.
One year, $14 million?
That's just me. I'm spending the Texas money. I'm not. That's not my money.
Yeah.
That's right.
Somebody else's money. I'll give
maybe not
14,
but you know.
I'll give him 1 year, 10, 1 year, 9, 11.
Yes.
I would give him that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no question. I would too. I would too. I think it'd be a really, really nice pickup. For the Texans. We mentioned Ryan Griffin got let go. We haven't talked to you since they let Ryan Griffin go. How many tight ends do you think they're going to bring into the regular season, the Texans?
Three. I think it would be, this is my prediction, one of the Jordans will be traded or gone.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Akins or Thomas.
I think fails to be here. You just signed him to contract, and he's too good of a blocker with the young offensive line that you possibly may have at the ends. At the
I
top
agree
of
with
positions.
That. He's got a spot on this
and
team.
He's huge. He's what, 6'6", 6'7"? He's huge.
He's labeled himself a far left tackle.
What
his
I love it. I'm fine with that. He knows that's somebody that knows his role. You know what I mean? And you can appreciate that. So if you got Titus Howard starting week one and Cameron Jordan, you can put, guess what, Fails on that side to help out and chip and do whatever.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, you're not going to cut a third round guy.
In Waring.
You're not going to cut Waring.
Right.
Yeah.
I just don't see him.
I wouldn't cut him. I'd be frightened. He'd squash my head like a grape if I cut him. He looks like a superhero.
If that means something, Akins was a third round guy last year and Thomas was the sixth round guy. You think Thomas is the more likely Jordan to be jettisoned?
Yeah. I mean, it just depends which Jordan they like better and which Jordan fits. Because you have a blocking tight end in Fails. You have somebody that basically can be your starting tight end in Waring down the line. So it depends on what roles those two guys can play and who plays the best and what they need.
Just to be clear, you said traded, not cut. So if
not cut, I think you can get some value for those guys.
Yeah.
Jordan Thomas, that size, that speed, those hands, I really like Jordan Thomas.
Yeah, I think you can trade one of those guys and get something for him, a late-round pick or something like that. I don't think they'll be – they could be cut, but I think they'll try to trade one of them.
Yeah. You mentioned Titus Howard. Cecil Shorts in studio with us for his weekly visit. So we're out at OTAs yesterday, and obviously there's no shoulder pads. All there are just helmets and shell, you know, helmets, jerseys, shorts, things like that. And we know that training camp, by and large, there's very little contact compared to years gone by.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to be able to best tell that Titus Howard is progressing as a player throughout OTAs, mini camp, and training camp?
Well, I think it's all about, for him, technique. It's for me, it's hard to really judge a guy without shoulder pads and pads on and shoulder pads and pants and all that helmet on in his position.
Sure.
So for me, it would be definitely training camp and how he progresses during training camp. How well does he do against the top guys? I want to see him go against Witt. I want to see him go against whoever, if Clowney's there, Clowney. And then what? I want to see him go against the top guys and how he progresses week, day after day after day after day. And then when you go to joint practices, going against those top guys, because that's who he's going to see at left tackle.
It is.
Or right tackle, wherever you put him. He's going to see the top guys.
It's like getting fed to Mike Tyson so back in 1990.
It could be a good thing, though, that he's going against those guys each and every day. I'd rather him go against those guys each and every day, and then we're going against somebody subpar, and then in the game, you got Cameron Jordan week one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He impresses as a smart, confident guy, and he's going to need that intelligence and that confidence.
I think he'll pick up, and from what we're hearing, he's picking up the offense pretty well so far. So I think shoulder pad, I think training camp will tell what's going on. Yes, you can see some things now, but those guys aren't really going full go. Like, you know what I mean? All the way until they put the pads on.
All right. Well, some more Texans talk with Cecil Shorts here coming up next. What should we be looking for out of Deshaun at this early stage in offseason activities? Got to talk about Antonio Brown, too, and Le'Veon Bell. These two guys get big deals other places, and now they're not showing up at preseason and offseason stuff.
Voluntary, Sean.
Yeah, and how is Cecil Shorts dealing without having LeBron James in his life this time of year for the first time in forever? We'll talk about that as well. You're listening to the Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610. Cecil Shorts in studio with us for one more segment. Sean Pendergast and Rich Lord with you here on a Wednesday. We'll do a top five at five at the top of the hour. Deshaun Watson was, like the rest of the Texans, out at OTAs yesterday getting things going. Here's Deshaun Watson on the benefit of OTA practices.
Being able to, you know, go good on good, work out the kinks, and just try to find the timing. We just try to set days each and every day. Win each day and try to get 1% better. And if we can do that and set those days up by the end of OTAs going into our next break before training camp, then we'll get out successful.
What's the biggest benefit that Deshaun Watson can get in your mind, Cecil, out of OTAs?
I think he just said it, timing. Timing with going against good on good, going against the best, going against your number one defense, and really working timing with the receivers, timing with the offensive line as far as, well, I shouldn't say time with the offensive line, I said communication with the offensive line. When there's different fronts, when there's different blitzes, him communicating with his offensive line, hey, look for this, if this guy comes, just all that communication going on right now is huge. And you want to see him take a step forward in that area, maybe him seeing blitzes faster, maybe him watching film, oh, this is a look we saw in film, let's be ready for this. Him getting the ball out quicker. I think Kiki being healthy is going to be huge.
Yeah, and he was healthy yesterday. Yeah, they were, for what it's worth, there was a lot of that going on yesterday. Like they were doing a lot of tempo and a lot of they were sending 5-6 guys at him all the time.
That's how it should be, and that's what you should expect. It's going to be pressure on them. They're going to put pressure on Deshaun. They want to get Deshaun hit. They wanted to put pressure on that offensive line.
Yep.
They want to prove, the other teams will prove to me that your offensive line is better.
Well, speaking of the O-line, how realistic is it? How much should we expect Titus Howard to line up as the starting left tackle on Monday night in the season opener at New Orleans? And what's it going to take for him to be there that night in the starting lineup?
I think it's realistic. I'm not going to go as far as, I think McClain said, 90%.
You'll take the under on that?
I'll take the under on that. But I do think it's definitely realistic. Put it this way. If Howard is just as equally talented and mentally ready as any other guy, he's going to start. You're going to go with the younger guy. And if you pick the guy at 23. Like, you're not going to waste that pick if he's ready to go. Now, if he's not, then you won't, right? Then you'll bring him along slowly, and he'll be inserted when he's ready. But to me, I think he's going to be your guy. It's hard for me not to see. Put it this way. Somebody's really going to have to beat him out, whether it's Khalil, whether it's Henderson. Somebody's really going to have to prove that they're way better than Howard to be the starting left tackle.
So Ty goes to the rookie.
Yeah, oh, by far.
I feel like it'd be a disappointment if he's not out there starting at left tackle on Monday night in New Orleans.
I don't know if I don't look at it as a disappointment. I would look at it as maybe Khalil living up to what he's supposed to be. Maybe somebody else living up to what they're supposed to be.
Is he ever going to be fourth overall pick in the draft good, though?
No, if he wasn't before then
he didn't have to be to start on this team.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. So, but if they don't, to me, in my opinion, they don't beat out Howard decisively, Howard be the starter.
If he was fourth pick in the draft, Goodrich, he would not be on the Houston Texans.
There's no doubt. He would not be on his third team.
He'd
be on what, the Vikings, I think they picked?
He would. Yeah. He'd be getting $13 million a year playing for the Minnesota
Vikings.
Pro Bowl
as a rookie.
Yeah.
Started out well.
And I think I'm just basing this on what I saw yesterday out at OTAs. If he's not starting at left tackle, Titus Howard, there's a decent chance he could be starting somewhere else. Because without going into great detail, and this wasn't unique to Howard, they were shuffling guys all over the place yesterday.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I think clearly they're looking for their five best guys right now, independent of position. So, unfortunately, Cecil, I think this is a function of where they are with the offensive line right now. If this were the offensive line of certainly the Texans' heyday of 2011 and 2012, their offensive heyday of 2011 and 2012, when you knew who the five were going to be, Dwayne Brown, Wade Smith, Chris Myers, Mike Brizell, and Eric Winston, boom. Those would be your five guys. You're not shuffling anybody around because you got five good offensive linemen and a couple of guys there that I would call foundational type of guys on that offensive line. They don't have a single foundational guy right now. So I don't like it only because it means they're at a place at the offensive line where they're barely past a rebuild right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's what I wanted to ask you is with all the shuffling going on, I guess just how do you look at this as a former player, especially if you were playing on this offense and say, man, we better get nailed down who our five best guys are by X. Like, when would you feel like we need to know what our offensive line is going to look like? You know, it's obviously sometime before the week leading up to the New Orleans
game.
By
the end of mandatory minicamp, I think. So,
which is when?
Whenever they, right before they leave, June 11th through the 13th, okay. Something like that.
Wow, so you'd have it there even before you put on pads.
For me, as a teammate, to
yeah,
be comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's your opinion.
I need to have that down, my top five going into training camp. So we can, and then I'm not saying there won't be competition.
And then there's a fluid situation.
There's a fluid situation moving forward. Because if you're still shuffling guys like this week three in the training camp, that's a problem.
Oof, yeah.
Like, think about that. That's a lot on everybody. So you're putting pressure on the coaches, on yourself. There's going to be errors, communication errors. Like you said yesterday, it's going to be a lot thrown at Deshaun early on. They're going to blitz him like crazy. They're going to prove that teams are going to come to town or play the Texans and say, prove to me your offensive line is better. Prove it. We're going to blitz you like crazy. We're going to get to your quarterback. Until proven otherwise, that's what we're going to do. That's what I would do. I would send the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You watched every game last year. We did the post game show. In watching this offensive line last year, if you had to break it down, physical issues versus mental issues with the offensive line, what was the bigger issue and by how much?
Personally, I don't think they were physically that good.
They're both issues, obviously. Right? Yeah.
So I think more it was physically. I just don't think they were that good.
Okay.
As far as also offensive line, because you just named offensive line 2011, 2012.
Yeah, that's a good line.
That's a physically good offensive line.
Right.
Even back in 2015 when you got Ben Jones and Brandon Brooks and those guys with Dwayne Brown.
Yep.
Those were physical specimens. They were physical. They were physically good.
Yeah.
I just didn't see that last year with the offensive line we had here. They just weren't talent-wise good enough.
Yeah, that's how you get to pick in a first and a second-round pick on the offensive line.
True. You talk about developing timing this time of year. I think we all have our eye on the receiving core. Especially because Will Fuller and Kiki QT have to still prove they can stay on the field on a consistent basis. So there's always the possibility that a Vincent Smith or a Jester Weir or even a couple of the new faces like a Johnny Dixon or a Tyron Johnson could figure prominently in the receiving core this year. There's a real opportunity at this point for those guys as far as that development of relationships and timing and expectations with Deshaun Watson at this point.
This is a huge time. To me, the groups that get the biggest out of this time of year are the skill positions, especially receivers, especially defensive backs, because that's what you do no matter what pads on or not. It's the same for you. And most DBs don't want to tackle anyways. So it's the same. So as far as the receiver position, this is everything. This is where you earn the trust of Deshaun. You start to earn the trust of Deshaun.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm Vincent Smith going into my second year, I should feel pretty confident going into this year. I know the offense, first of all, and I made a big play with Deshaun. So he has some type of trust in me right now. I just have to continue to improve my game, continue to improve technique, continue to go out there and make plays when the ball comes my way. And I think Vincent will be all right. Because for me, that was my best year ever, going into my second year. Back against the wall. And I didn't have my second year in the offense, but back against the wall, but I understood how to be a pro. I was taught well by my coaching staff. I was taught well by the people around me. So going into this year, yes, it's going to be wide open for 4, 5, 6, if they keep 6.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a numbers game from there. So I think Vincent is going to be a guy that to look out for, but you got to, it's going to be a lot of competition, man. I think Johnny Dixon, I said it before, he's really good.
He looked like the real deal yesterday. The way he caught the ball,
yes,
physically.
Strong hands. Yeah. I mean, he's one of the top recruits coming out. He was one of the top receivers at Ohio State before he had numerous, I think, a few knee injuries, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he is somebody to look out for in the return game as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how this works out. But between now, the summer, so wherever Deshaun goes in the summer, if I'm Vincent Smith, hey, I'm calling him up. Hey, where you at this summer? You and Hop going here? Okay, I'm coming with you. If I'm those young guys, I'm following him. Because that's where the timing is, and that's where the trust comes. I know where you're going to be, and you know where I want you to be. And you know I'm going to make this play. You know the work we put in together, and then that goes in the training camp.
So if you were Vincent Smith, you would be proactively reaching out to Watson to find out where you're throwing with your receivers, do your best to invite yourself there.
I'm going. There's no invite. I'm going. There's no asking.
Exactly.
Hey, where are you going this summer? When are you going to start? Okay, I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm there.
The only receiver I didn't mention was DeAndre Carter, because I feel like he's a guy who is going to make or not make a spot on this team largely on his return capabilities.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that there are other candidates in that receiving core that could compete for that return job. So I think his roster spot is far from assured.
You know what? I think he's the forgotten guy because he played decent last year when he came into the team. He was middle of the year.
He did.
Well, when Demaryius Thomas went out with the Achilles injury in the Philadelphia game, DeAndre Carter all of a sudden is their number two receiver.
Yeah.
Like literally, I mean, there's a reason Vincent Smith caught a touchdown pass in that game.
Very true.
Because he had to be on the field.
Very true. He had to play. So it's going to be interesting because you got a guy, and he did fumble a lot last year, if I remember correctly.
He put the ball down a couple times,
it wasn't necessarily a fumble, but he put the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
So we'll see
how
this goes.
He's in the league because of special teams.
Absolutely.
It feels like whatever he does as a receiver is kind of gravy with DeAndre Carter.
Absolutely. And then I don't think you keep two slot-only receivers on your five rosters.
And obviously, Kiki's got the inside.
Kiki's going to be the starter, right?
Yeah.
And then you want more guys that can play inside and outside. And the more things you can do, the better.
Mm, sounds like you want somebody versatile.
Just
in case Landry's listening right now.
I love you. I'm sorry.
Cecil Shorts in studio with us for a few more minutes. Antonio Brown, this is a weird story, Cecil, in so much as Antonio Brown had been doing the voluntary workouts with the Raiders, and then OTAs start, I think, yesterday, and he's not there, and Gruden's being super cryptic with, we think he'll be here at some point. It may be a whole lot to do about nothing, but what do you make of guys like Antonio Brown, his former teammate Le'Veon Bell in New York, not going to voluntary things? What, just your general thoughts on guys who are new to teams maybe taking a slow burn and acclimating themselves to these teams?
I think it's different on the situations. Le'Veon Bell hasn't played in a full year, and he comes to a new team, and now his rumors out that the coach didn't necessarily want, or not a GM now, didn't necessarily want him. If I'm him, I'm showing my face, getting to know my teammates, building that relationship. Now, does he need it as a running back? Yeah, he can learn the offense, but it's not necessarily a need for him to be there. But from a team standpoint,
yes,
getting to know the guys, and if I'm hearing those rumbles, I'm getting there ASAP. Like, yo, I'm not the guy. Whatever you think I am, I'm better than that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any negative thoughts, I'm getting rid of that. This is here. I'm here to play football, and you know I'm a damn good player.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Brown, he's just weird to me. I just don't necessarily understand.
To a lot of us.
I don't understand his thought process. Now, the one thing I do know, and this is true about Odell, this is true about Le'Veon Bell, this is true about Antonio Brown. Their work ethic has never been the question.
Right.
Has never been the question. Those guys work extremely hard wherever they are.
Yeah, you don't get to be that level of player.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't get to be that level of player unless you put the work in.
Right.
And especially Antonio Brown. So I think you have to, if you're Gruden, you have to deal with whatever the case may be with him. There's going to be some issues here or there, and you might not understand why. But I know Antonio Brown, he's going to put the work in. Him and Carr will get together in the summer. They'll get the timing down at training camp. They'll be fine. The same thing with Odell. Those guys will get together and going on. But if I'm Le'Veon and there's issues and there's negativity going about me, I'm showing up. I'm sorry. I have to be there. If I'm a new player to a team, and I haven't played football in a year, I'm showing to my new team and my coaching staff and quarterback and people that are going to my offensive line, I'm in shape. I can be trusted. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. What would we be saying if Hopkins weren't at OTAs?
That's interesting.
He wasn't out there yesterday, but I think it's because he was in the building. He and JJ both were not out on the field yesterday, but
there's no concern there. They were
in the building, yeah. But what if they weren't at, you know, what if it were a similar situation to this Antonio Brown, this weird cryptic absence that he has?
See, DeAndre's not weird, besides his incident me and him had with on Hard Knocks when he had one of that man purse or whatever.
Were you the one picking on him because he had a dog in his man purse?
What are you doing? Like, why
dog in a purse? Bad look in an NFL locker room.
I don't want that. Like, I don't want to be your friend if you want to hold a purse in the So besides that, I think if DeAndre wasn't here, we would have questions, but it wouldn't be a big deal because we know what he brings to the table, and we know he's going to work hard. And him and Deshaun go back, and they'll get it together. And he hasn't had a history of. I think he had out one day.
He held out one day. He learned from the best, Andre Johnson, who held out for like 2 days back in 2010.
He has what you would call standing in the room.
So I don't think it would be an issue with him when it comes to that. Whereas Antonio Brown has a history of. I mean, this past offseason has been crazy. I mean, Big Ben is still answering questions about that, and he's not even the Oakland. He's not even the Antonio Brown's not a Pittsburgh
team. Yeah, it's crazy. Ben's apologizing to him, but Antonio Brown did not accept the apology. Yeah.
And the mere fact that legitimate NFL media in New York City is reporting that Adam Gase might consider trading Le'Veon Bell is just absolutely insane, because that process would involve them spending $12 million on Le'Veon Bell and then trading him.
I don't know how true it is. That's just crazy to think about. Like,
it speaks
how
to the madness.
You just I don't know what's going on with you. Are you the Jets? No, Giants.
Giants.
I apologize.
No, I'm much better off.
The other crappy team.
I'm much better off. Easy.
I did go easy.
I hope Jones works out.
How many times has Brady lost in the Super Bowl?
It's 2019, Rich. That ain't going to help you week one. We got like 30 seconds. Are you okay, Cecil? Because this is... for the first time in mid-May in 5 years, you don't have your guy out there balling for your squad.
It's a tough time of year, man. You get spoiled when you have somebody like LeBron James on your team. And then when he leaves, you win 15 to 16 games, whatever it is. Yeah. Like, you take it for granted. You take it for granted how great he is, how much he brings to the table, how much he brings to the city.
True.
And then I have nothing to look forward to. He didn't even make the playoffs. Like,
you can't even root for him on another team.
It's weird not even seeing him out there.
You know,
the last 8 years he's been to the finals.
Yeah. You know what else gets taken for granted? The TV ratings when he's in the playoffs at this point. The Eastern Conference Finals TV ratings are down. Game 3 was down 50% from last year.
Mm. It's kind of boring.
It's LeBron effect, right?
Or no, Drake. No, nobody wants to see Drake running around massaging Nick Nurse's shoulders.
Come on, Drake.
Horrible, right?
It's ridiculous. Adam Silver needs to step in.
He's doing way too much. How is he able to do all this?
They've enabled him, but he's doing way too much. The Raptors have enabled him.
That's crazy.
They've embraced him as their designated superfan. Listen, I know we're late on time here, but we got to squeeze in June 15th at Butler Stadium.
Yes, June 15th at Butler Stadium. It's a free football camp for boys and girls ages 7 through 13. You can sign up at cs3football.com. It's going to be Toro there. It's going to be former Texans, current Texans. It's going to be a great time. So sign up at cs3football.com, free football camp. Ages 7 to 13.
It doesn't get any better than that. I may lie about my son's ages and just send them there and say,
come on, tell them to come on.
They're 19 and 21, but they would like to go to a Cecil Shorts football camp.
7 to 13.
CS3 football. James is kind of short.
Boys and girls, right?
Boys and girls. Yeah, right, boys
good
and
deal.
Girls.
CS3football.com, June 15th.
Yep.
All right, there it is. Cecil Shorts, you knocked it out of the park as always.
Hey, thanks, fellas.
Good stuff, man.
Good to see y'all.
Good stuff.
Same here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.